The devil with such wrath knows he has to change his strategy. And the strategy is this. I'm going after their very faith. I'm going after their homes, their marriages. I'm going to try to paralyze every spiritual man and woman on the face of the earth.
There's something in you that says, I can do more. This just can't be it. There's something in you. There's a calling on your life. But I got a saying, when life knocks you down, try and land on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered the heart of mankind what's in store for you if you challenge yourself, if you persist and persevere.
Because real lions like to hunt. They love the process just as much as they love the prize. And some of y'all just want to score. You don't like the process. You're not in love with the process.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Cole Davis with the Lions Path. Thank you for joining us this evening here on the 20th of March of 2019. Fresh off the road from Godly Men of Valor this last weekend in Texas. And boy, did Texas come out in force. What a great time we had. I think some lives were really changed. Some men's hearts were changed. And therefore, their households, well, they will go home and have stronger, even better households now that they are prepared to stand with it. And this evening, I wanted to kind of give you a precursor of what we're going to talk about. A gentleman came up to me this last weekend, and he said, I understand that we need to pray as men, and I understand we need to pray for our households. How do we do that? Like, what do we actually need to say? And I thought, you know, that's a really good topic for a show, because I get that quite a bit, and I think praying needs to stop being theoretical. It also needs to stop being cliche. You know, it's the most powerful thing we can do, but it's also the thing that we resist the most oftentimes. It's those of us who struggle with, you know, that submission and making that time and that focus and that energy and to get that intimate time with the Messiah and with the Most High, that becomes a topic of great consternation for us. So, a couple things before we get started. There will be prayers going up. We need a date. There will be another Godly Men of Valor later this year in the Indianapolis area, about an hour north, actually. The date is coming. That's going to happen. And so stay tuned. We're actually working on the website for Godly Men of Valor right now, make it a little more user-friendly. And it's going to be a great time. United in Worship, unitedinworship.org. Next one is May 10th through the 11th in the Atlanta area. Go to unitedinworship.org for information on that. Let's see here, sacredapparel.net, if you are interested in clothing that has a message and portrays that holiness message and the fact that your life is sacred, everybody's life is sacred. It's sacred because the Father made it sacred. Go there, sacredapparel.net, and let's see here, onthatday.org and our YouTube channel, youtube.com/onthatdayministries. Everything we've ever done in all of our teachings are on YouTube for free, including these Lions Path podcasts, including our demonology series, which we're getting ready to start again. Now the weather's a little better. We can go outside. I like teaching outside myself. And if you would be so kind as to consider donating monthly or a one-time donation to help with travel expenses, we've got families around the country. We are getting ready to really lock in some dates to go help some folks. And so if you would be so kind and to take part in that and sow into this ministry, I think we'll be good to go. Okay. All right. Now, this seems like one of those topics. And this seems like one of those topics. Oh, we're going to talk about this again. I'm going to tell you, why is it that the Messiah's disciples, they could have asked for anything for him to, you know, Lord, teach us to do anything. They asked him to teach them how to pray. And I believe that many of the issues that we're having in this country, in our families, in our households, our marriages, is a glorious lack of prayer for one another, prayer for our children. Maybe we don't really know what we're doing when we do it. Maybe there's not a real clear guideline. And so I don't think I'm going to broach any new topic tonight. I think pretty much every sermon on prayer has probably been preached, at least as I can see it. However, what I cannot stress enough is the importance of this, and what I hope to accomplish tonight, and I pray that the Father's with me as I do this, is to demonstrate to you a warfare prayer of various types. Like I said, I've got a note here about various different kinds. How important is it? Well, understand that very few things astound the Father. Very few things grieve his heart. I mean, he knows everything. He sees everything. But what's amazing to me is in two places, he finds no one willing to intercede on behalf of the land or the people. In Ezekiel 22, verse 30, he says, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me," that's intercede, "on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." And of course, in Ezekiel, we see that he actually did destroy the land. And this is the one that really tugs at my heartstrings. Isaiah 59, 15b through 16a. "Now Yah saw that it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man. And he was astonished that there was no one to intercede." I don't know about you. I personally do not want our generation to be a generation that astonishes the Father at our lack of prayer. I do not believe that, you know, I believe that there are people out there interceding, trust me. I'm not going to say there's not. However, we could always use more. Standing in the gap, preparing that wall, interceding for men on before the Most High. One of my favorites, Leonard Ravenhill, says, "Which would you pick, preaching or praying?" He said he'd pick praying every time. Preaching is standing before men on behalf of God, but prayer is standing before God on behalf of men. And that really touched my heart when it got, you know, really touched my heart. Because I think we all tend to worry too much about what people think of us and not enough about what he thinks of us. And, you know, when it comes to prayer, I think many of us hide because some of us have this gross, unconfessed sin in our life. And trust me, I'm not judging. I'm one of the worst offenders of that in my past. The dead man that was me once was definitely in that camp. But understand, when you go to pray, that if there is known sin, before you open your mouth to utter your will or desire before the Father, there needs to be that repentance. I have, you know, I'm so grateful, not that I'm without sin by any means, but the sin that I've been healed from that we talked about on the show often between my wife and I, to not have to go before the Father every time anymore and go, "Father, I'm sorry, I repent of that," before I even open my mouth to pray, is a very big relief, and it feels so much like I'm more on his page. And I pray that you would have the same experience. But say every sin that you knowingly commit adds guilt and it adds shame. And guilt and shame take away from the force or the intention with which you pray. What I see over and over again in the scriptures is this. I see over and over again, earnestly pray, search out the Father with your whole heart. Pray for one another earnestly with intention, with might and fervor and power and everything that we do, and we stand before him. And there needs to be some passion in that. Because the more we bring to the table with that, the more we partner with him and the more we share his heart regarding a matter. And the more passionately we bring it to the Father rather than with coldness or with lukewarmness, the more that we don't bring that to him, the more we will, I believe, see our prayers answered. No, I don't believe that we can manipulate the Father into accomplishing what we pray all the time. I do believe he still has the right to say no, and thank goodness that he does. If we pray something that's not within his will, he has the right to say no. He may give us a correction, and then we may move on. But I can tell you that the first prayer, oftentimes the most neglected prayer for warfare, We have so much intention when we pray for another person because we call shame sometimes. We mistake shame for humility where we think, well, I will pray for somebody else, but I don't want to pray for myself. I will tell you this, that if you do not pray for yourself, you truly do not have the ability to love your neighbor as yourself. Really, when it comes down to it, if you don't value what the Father made in you, you really, at its core, really what you're doing is you're wishing that you were like somebody else and praying that maybe somehow that you would be like them after their prayer gets answered, after your prayer over them gets answered. Maybe something will splash back off of them onto you. And I can tell you that we have to learn to pray for ourselves, especially in warfare first. I believe that so much of what we do, and so the lack of prayer, I mean, you listen to preachers over and over again in the old days, even in the old days in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and they're praying. They're saying, "Father, why can't I get your people to pray?" And the biggest distractions in life have nothing to do with Bible study, actually. They have the distractions that come stop us from prayer. They stop us from seeking His face in that moment, the intimacy of that moment. The intimacy of seeking His face in that moment and going, "Father, what is your will?" Not in the universal sense, and I can grasp that intellectually. What is your immediate will for my life? What is your desire? How much do you love me? And I want to express to you how much I love you. Without that, we have no relationship with Him. Without that, it grows cold. And we become a husband and wife that no longer speak to one another, and there is no intimacy, and there is no anything that we can actually hold on to say that we know that He loves us. That's not the issue. The issue is, do we return that affection? So when it comes to prayer for ourselves, we have to understand that He is looking at us no matter what we've done. When we repent and we ask for restoration, we ask for forgiveness and grace and mercy and all those type of things, I cannot believe how quickly He is eager to give that to you. So you pray and you repent for any known sin that you have. You offer up that prayer of brokenness. You go, "Father, I'm approaching with a broken and contrite heart. I pray to be restored. I pray to have the joy," just like David prayed in Psalm 51, "I pray to have the joy of your salvation restored to me." The biggest lie the adversary will tell you is that prayers for yourself to be built up in the Spirit is selfish. I've heard it over and over again. "I can't pray for myself. It feels selfish." And I can tell you, thank goodness David did not have that mentality, because he strengthened himself in Yah multiple times. You see him in the Scriptures, even in his darkest moment, as he's seeking out and being honest with the Father about how he feels. He's writing down his laments, and then you watch him turn them into statements of authority that in the Spirit that he's been given, "I'm standing against this. I'm standing against this feeling. Father, turn this away from me," rather than, "I'm here. Bring me out of this." And then we see most of his Psalms ending in praise and worship, and not only praise and worship, but prophecy oftentimes. It's so awesome to see. Hope you're with me on that. Alrighty. Prayer for self. I pray you'll join me in this, but some people need a script, and I get that. So I will go slow. And these are straight from the heart. These are things that I pray for myself, and you may have your own way of addressing Him. You may have your own approach. You may have your own words. And I will say this, that the Father really does not care about eloquence, how well you speak. I'm going to tell you that He cares how much passion and emotion you bring to the table. How much do you actually care? Are you saying these things not in the manner of, "I hope this comes true," or "I hope this comes to pass. I hope what I'm asking is accepted"? Most of the time He's asking, "How much are you willing to partner with me to see my will done?" The Heavenly Father is enthroned on the praises of His people, and our prayers rise up to Him like incense. We see in the whole tabernacle and temple stories how important incense is. What an essential part of worship and prayer that is. Our prayers go up as a pleasing aroma to Him. He's enthroned on our praises. So before we do anything, when we pray for ourselves, we honor Him as our King. Every prayer is going to start off with something He hit me with this last year was, "Talk to me. Yes, I'm your Father, but talk to me as though I am still your King." And it recalled to me every time that I heard people speak in kingdoms, the sons would still say Father, but they would also say Your Majesty. They would still render that honor and that blessing to Him as the King, that recognition of His authority. So when we go into prayer, every prayer is going to begin like that. Okay? So if you're struggling kind of with this idea of self, last week we talked about self-pity. This is the answer to that, because you have to get past this. And sometimes you have to do something that doesn't feel You don't have to feel. You're not going to be motivated to do this sometimes, but you're going to render to your king regardless because it is what we do. It's taken me a long time to grasp that. And I will get started here before too long, trust me. It's taken me a long time to grasp that I go out and I would be like, man, I just don't feel like praying. And my emotions led me around. I can tell you that when my intention is to honor the king, my emotions will follow. They will follow my honor for the king. So let's pray for ourselves. And if you are struggling with this, this is a warfare prayer where you are fighting for yourself. Gentlemen, if you want to fight for your household, first you have to fight for yourself. Because the enemy will rip you apart if you are not wearing the armor of Yah, if you are not right with the king, if you are not listening to his word, if you are not right in your role, you're in trouble if you try to encounter the enemy. So let's pray for ourselves. Ladies, same thing. Most gracious and holy King, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Father, I lift up any and all known sins to you. I confess my hands may not be clean before you. I confess that my heart has been turned away. Father, I ask now in this moment, I lift those both my hands and my heart up to you to be made clean. I repent for my sin and I ask your forgiveness and your grace and mercy. Forgive my dullness of heart. Forgive my distraction. Forgive my wandering eyes. Forgive whatever it may be, Father, that is keeping me from becoming an attentive servant of yours. Most High, you are the King of the universe. You are the King of my heart. You are my Father, and your Son, Yeshua, is my bridegroom. I pray now that you would look down on your people. You would look down on me. You would look down on me, and you would restore the joy of your salvation, that you would bless me. And that's hard for me to ask, Father. If it seems like I'm asking for so much, even though I'm asked for your grace and your mercy, and I'm thankful for it. But Father, when it comes to the enemy, I stand in the authority of Yeshua. I stand for myself, for my heart, for my soul, for my spirit, for my mind, for my body against any illness that is a device created by the adversary. And I stand against it in Yeshua's name, the Yeshua who saved me from my sin, who the word says is the Lamb and the Lion, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tav. I stand in that authority against anything that would come against myself, against my body, my mind, my spirit. Father, I lift them all up to you, just as you instructed us to in the Shema of, I shall love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. All of them belong to you, Father, and I rededicate them to you. I take ground back from the adversary. I break any agreement that I've made with him, conscious or subconscious, unconscious, that may be giving him authority in my life. In fact, I know he does, and I know that I see the fruit of that. I see the fruit of powerlessness. I see the fruit of so much of what I'm doing being brought low or being confounded or stopped in its tracks. I pray now against any device, the adversary, any work. The Yeshua said that we would do greater things than him, and he came to undo the works of the adversary. And first and foremost, Father, I pray against any device he has made, any work that he has set up in my life in Yeshua's name. I repent that I have indulged it or empowered it, and I pray that the tie be broken, any agreement be broken in Yeshua's name. Amen. So this praying, we pray, you know, Father, thank you. It's almost like you should be a little amped up when you get done with your prayer. You know, my favorite, one of my favorite statements by Leonard Ravenhill is, God does not listen to prayers, he listens to desperate prayers. He listens to people who give their intention fully to him, that desperation. We have nowhere left to turn. And in fact, prayer becomes our last resort rather than our first resort many times. All right. So when it comes to something that's very concerning to me, of course, I pray for safety. We pray for the people of the world. And it's a very tough thing when tragedy strikes, when people decide to go against the will of the Father and take life or come against life or hurt or maim someone else. It seems like our prayers for safety don't really matter at times. And I know that sounds heretical, but that's deep in our hearts sometimes. That's what we feel. But I can tell you this, that prayer, of course, for safety, praying for that safe way, praying for that path to rise up and meet us, to make the path straight and the road level. We pray for all of these things. We go to the Father now and for prayers for safety. These are just examples. You can do what you want, but you can see the patterns in which they would do what we, patterns that we would pray in. Heavenly Father, now we come before you, our King. We render our honor to you, the one who wears the crown, the one who sits on the throne, the mighty and glorious one. Father in heaven, in this planet of death and struggle that the adversary is holding on to with his talons until the day of judgment, we know there are times when he will, you know, this prophesied that he will overcome the saints, that he will come against those who call on your name, who will, you know, that are going to be beneath the altar and are going to be, our blood is going to be shed. But at the same time, Father, we stand against any work of the adversary that would cause us to have a spirit of fear, that would have us to have a spirit of self-preservation at the expense of being obedient to your will. Father, we come against all those things in Yeshua's name within us and around us. We shut our ears to fear mongers and we shut our ears to things that are so far against the life that you want us to have, life and life more abundantly. At the same time, Father, we pray for vigilance. We pray for a heart that seeks your safety, the safety and strong tower that you are. We pray that you would wrap us in your wings. Father, when we are in your kingdom in 1,000 years, we will look back on this mortal body and say, what were we holding on to so much? But at the same time, Father, you have work for us to do to get people into your kingdom. And I pray that you would keep us safe in that process. Keep our children safe. Keep our spouses safe. Father, we pray protection upon them. And Father, we just ask now that you would look down upon your people. You would look down upon your people and see a people who plead for your protection, who plead to have you protect them. We rely on you more than anything, Father. You led our people out of Egypt with a strong and mighty hand. That is our testimony as we go into this season. In fact, Father, you protected your people this very night, thousands of years ago, with it being Purim, when you laid it on your daughter, Hadassah, Esther, to pray and fast this evening for the safety and preservation of her people. What better night to pray for the preservation and safety of your people, the entire Hebrew nation, Father, those who call upon your name, who have turned against the ways of the world and have sought your way and sought your righteousness and sought to become more like your son, Yeshua, more like the Messiah, more like you, holy because you are holy. And Father, we pray that you would protect those innocent ones that we love so much, our children. We pray for their safety. We pray for them to turn with their whole hearts to you. Keep their minds and hearts safe more than anything. We know that there are those who are seeking their harm in this world. We have wolves everywhere, but at the same time, Father, you are our great shepherd. Teach us to be a shepherd over our little ones. Teach us to be shepherd over each other if you have so ordained it. And we just ask these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. All right, folks, let's see. We got a couple. We got 1 minute. So a couple of the other ones we're going to pray about. We need to. So like I said, these are just examples. It felt like there was a need for this tonight. And I don't really know why. But a brother brought that up this weekend, and he said, you know, I don't really know what to pray. I've never had it demonstrated for me. And so when I go out and pray at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I take my, you know, figurative smoke break, and I go out of my office and I go walk, this is what I'm doing. And I'm being open and honest with the Father about how I'm feeling about certain things. In the next half, we're going to talk about prayer against warfare, of course. We're going to pray for others. We're going to pray against illnesses, pray against curses, pray against addictions and habits, you know, and we're going to pray for blessings on ourselves and others. And so as we go into this break, we pray, Father, that you would bring those back who need to hear this. We pray that you would listen, lift up those who need to hear your word. And we thank you for all these things in Yeshua's name. I can't wait, folks. I'm waiting on the music to play. I thought I timed it well, but I guess I didn't. So there it goes. All righty. We'll be back in about a couple minutes. All righty. Thank you for joining us again. We got a lot to do in this next 20 or so minutes, so we're going to get into it. And so Where were we? Prayers. We prayed for safety. We're going to pray for warfare. Now, I will tell you this. This is probably the one that gives us the greatest amount of satisfaction, because we enjoy, through the Father's power, through his will, standing against the adversary, because we've been promised that when we resist the adversary, he will flee from us. Okay? And so this is the one that I really, really enjoy doing, of course. This is the slam dunk, you know? And so once again, before we go into it, if there's a known sin or something that we need to bring before the Father, before you encounter the adversary, it is time to repent, time to ask for restoration and mercy and thanksgiving for his goodness before you enter into this, okay? So now that we did that, let's just assume we did. How about that, you know? So prayers against warfare, I pray this one quite a bit. And I kind of got numb to this type of work after many years of doing this now. And that's been reinvigorated in me, because you start to see where your lack of vigilance starts to show where the enemy's coming in. And let's just say if you share that with me and all of a sudden you wake up one day and the enemy's in your camp, what do you do about it? Well, let's pray and let's go to the Father for that. Okay. Heavenly Father, King of glory, we are your children. We are made in your image. We are the ones who you looked down and said that there needed to be us. There needed to be images of you. Father, we are made in your image, and we know that the enemy hates your image. We know that he hates everything about you, therefore he hates us. He hates that you have favor on our lives. He hates that you extend so much mercy to us and kindness and grace, but because of his position and power, he fell as a result of his rebellion. Father, we take advantage of your grace and mercy now, and we ask for the forgiveness of our sins, whether conscious or unconscious. We ask for Yeshua's blood to cover them. Father, we will not be perfect until we get our glorified bodies, and we pray for that day to eagerly come. But in the meantime, we ask for more and more of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We ask for the more and more of the anointing to embolden our testimony through the blood of Yeshua and his resurrection, the power that overcame death. The adversary has no more power. Father in heaven, we stand against the works of the adversary in our lives and in this world, in this country, wherever we may be. He is seeking death, and we stand against it, and we speak life. We speak the life. We partner with you. We partner with you in your spirit through the authority that your Son has given us to speak life to this nation, speak life to the situation. We speak life against the adversary's hunger for death. And we pray now that you would look down upon us and see that and partner with us. May our prayers go up before you like incense, our mighty King, the one who holds everything in his hand, the sovereign one. The one whose desire is for us and our desire is for him. We stand against the adversary at any minion that he has. We break any agreement that he has with us or we have made with him, and we repent that we made that. And now, Father, we stand as men and as women in positions of authority because Yeshua died and rose for us. We stand against the adversary and we command him to leave in Yeshua's name. We command him to have no more power over anything we do, over anything we are, or anything that we seek to do in your name that is in your heart's will to do that. And Father, we ask now that you embolden our spirits. We ask now that you would embolden and increase our wisdom and increase our discernment so that we can see or smell or hear the adversary when he speaks, so that we can counter his words, remove our numbness against his will and against his works in our lives. And may we come to detest evil as much as you do. May we share your heart to stand against evil and speak life to your world in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. All righty. Okay. So this has come up a couple times. Ladies have asked on Facebook, and it bears responding. Okay. So, ladies, you've heard me say this a couple times. How do you pray for your husband but not over him? Okay. The biggest thing that you need to do and understand is you're going to pray that your husband becomes exactly who the Heavenly Father wants him to be. And in all honesty, that's who you want him to be too. You do not want a husband made in your own image. You want a husband that is made in his image. Okay? So when I say that, when you say, Father, protect him, obviously what we're doing, you're trying to keep him safe. But what you're doing is trying to keep him safe for your heart's sake most times. Okay? Whereas in that place of lack of safety, with that place of pressure and conviction, but the Father knows exactly how to press him to get that oil to come out. And he knows exactly how hard to bend him without destroying him or to remold him. The Father knows exactly how to do that. You have to trust Him to do that. So you're not praying for protection. You're not standing between you, the Father, and your household like we are called to do. I hear it all the time from women that have prayed protection over their husbands for years, and their husbands stopped developing spiritually. And that's not necessarily your fault, ladies, but we definitely don't want to enable bad behavior. Okay? We don't want to enable this comfortable spirit. We are, men are built to handle that struggle and strife, and we grow through it. You know, when your son falls or when he fails, that's an important moment in his life. When your husband falls or fails, we pray that he would be lifted back up, but we're not praying protection over him so that he doesn't have to deal with it. So I hope that makes sense. Okay. I hope that answers your question. Okay. All right. All right. So if there's any more about that, we'll handle it after the show. Okay. I know women don't necessarily like that, but I've seen it over and over again, where wives are praying protection over their husband and their husband's not progressing. And then I say, stop praying protection over him. Within a week, their husbands are saying, I need to get right with God. I need to get right with Yah. So that pressure comes in on them. Okay. So I hope that answers that question. Okay. So we're going to pray for others. We're going to pray for others. How do we pray for others? And this is one of those big things where somebody comes to you and they want to pray with you, or you need to pray with them. How do we do that? And of course, everybody's got their own ways of doing things. Everybody's got their own words. Like I said, it's not about eloquence. It's about intention and compassion and passion, okay? So if I'm praying over somebody, it usually goes like this. Heavenly Father, we stand before you as your sons and daughters, as your children, together, united. You have said where two or three are gathered, you will be also. And I pray now that you would look down upon this moment and join us here in this moment. And I lift up and intercede on behalf of my friend, on behalf of my family, on behalf of someone I know at work, on behalf of someone I pray becomes a friend, or on behalf of somebody, on behalf of this stranger that I don't know but I see struggling. I stand before you on their behalf, and I pray that you would turn your attention toward them, your merciful, kind, loving attention toward them. In this moment, I pray that you would hear their prayers lifted up to you. And I pray that you would show kindness to them for your servant's sake. But more than anything, Father, I pray that your will be done in this moment, whether you need to apply pressure to cause change or you need to draw them out of that scared place with your kindness and your grace and mercy into a loving relationship. Father, however you need to do that, I pray that you would do that now. And I partner with you and I bear witness to the work that you're going to do, because you've already done it. We believe as we pray this that you've already done it. And I pray that you would continue to do the work. Light that fire on their altar in their heart. Clean out that temple, Father, and instruct them how to do so. And I pray that they would have that wisdom, that they would have that discernment to hear your voice when you call. I pray that these are one of your sheep, our shepherd, Lord Yeshua, and I pray for them. Father, if this is, and this is how you go, folks, if this is an unbeliever, in your word, Father, you said that the king of this world has blinded their eyes to the work of the Most High. Father, now I stand against the works of the devil that would cause my brother or my sister, wherever they are, and sometimes, folks, they have to, you know, you may not know them and they may be unbelievers. They may be hard. They may be bitter people. This is how you pray for them, almost like a sniper. You know, if there's somebody at work or somebody you work with, you pray against the blindness that the enemy is causing them. Okay. Father, I pray and I stand against the blindness that you, that the enemy is causing them to have. I pray that you would look over. I pray that you would look over them and show them kindness and mercy and compassion. And I partner with you to come against, I pray that you come against anything that would be causing them to be blinded toward your goodness, to your will. Father, I pray that you would break the rebellion in their heart. I pray that you would remove the blindness from their eyes and the deafness from their ears. And I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. So if the adversary is causing that blindness, folks, and we can resist the adversary in Yeshua's name, guess what? We can pray for our unbelieving family members and coworkers and friends. We can continue to do that, you know? So, okay. Let's see here. Praying against illness. Now, one of the big reasons that we struggle with praying for illness, especially with the laying on of hands and when it comes to this, when it comes to illness, this is one of the most practical ways that God's power can be displayed. But I will tell you that, I'm trying to find something here. Hang on one second. Okay. But I can tell you this, that when it comes to disease or injury, this is a place where the Most High can do a ton of work through us. Now, when it comes to this, understand this, all prayer has an effect. It may not be that immediate effect. You know, sadly, you know, we are working and praying and seeking our way in that holiness up to the level of Yeshua for us to do greater works than he did, as he said he would. But as we're developing, folks, we have to step out of that place. Now, when it comes to praying for illnesses, a lot of times, if I'm being honest with myself, and I think probably most of us, whenever I say this, a lot of people agree with me. When we pray for against illnesses, we pray against injuries, what we're actually doing is, and when we don't do that, rather, we're actually scared that we're going to look foolish, that if we pray this or we try to call down power or we try to heal something, if it doesn't happen, then we're going to look foolish. And I can tell you this, that we have to keep in mind that all prayer has an effect. It may be an accumulative effect. You know, it's just like the sower of the seed. When we sow a field, we may not see that harvest, but we are still commanded to do our part. So understand that when we stand against the works of the adversary in the form of illness, we have to have just as much faith to stand against the adversary as we do to stand against the illnesses and the injuries in someone's life. Okay? Psalm 103, 1 through 3. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all your diseases. When it comes down to it, we really have to come and stand against that. Any disease, anything that comes against life, the Father said, Yeshua said, I've come so you could have life, life more abundantly. And disease will take directly against it. We see Yeshua coming against disease all the time. So when it comes to it, and especially with prominent leaders now who are having, you know, health issues in their families and their households, let's join together, folks, and pray for them. Whether you agree with them or not, they're our brothers made in the image of Yah. And we need to really pray against that disease, against that work of the adversary. Whatever is causing it, doesn't matter. We're going to stand against it. And we're going to use our authority that Yeshua died to give us. And we're going to stand against it. You ready? Okay, so we're going to pray against illness. Heavenly Father, you have come. You sent your Son so that we may have life, life more abundantly. I pray that you would come down and empower your people. Empower your sons and daughters who partner with you, who are forgiven and joint heirs with Yeshua and joint heirs with the authority. And then we have the indwelling of the same Spirit that brought him out of the grave and overcame death. We come against all disease in Yeshua's name. In the authority that he's been given us, Father, you have come to so that we may live. And disease, that uncleanness, that rottenness, that work of the adversary and the fallenness of this world and the curses of this world, we stand against them in Yeshua's name. Father, we have chosen righteousness. We have believed in your Son. We have believed in his resurrection. We believe that he died for us. He is the high priest of our confession. And we stand with your people against the diseases that are affecting us. Father, in your day, you in Yeshua healed everything, and you said we would do greater and mightier things than he. We pray now to have that authority and that power, and we stand together, and I stand in that authority, and I pray against all disease and all against all carnage that the fallenness of this world does on our flesh and on our spirit and our hearts. We come against all forms of mental illness. We come against all forms of infectious disease, of against any generational inheritance, Father, we come against it in Yeshua's name. And we pray that you would lift up the heads of your people. And we ask all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. This is one of my favorites, prayers against curses. There are people in this world and the enemy himself that seek our destruction, but they don't seek our destruction in the way that we think, where they're just speaking words against us, because we could always counter that. You know, you don't fight evil with evil, you fight it with love. We can counter that with words of love. The way that Balaam got his people to be cursed, the way the Father, he had made the Father's justice break out from the tabernacle and go out on the outskirts of town and cause Phinehas to stand up, was he had to lure the people into temptation, into that place where curses would fall. Proverbs says that a curse without cause does not alight, like a sparrow in its flitting. If it does not have a place to land, if it does not have authority, if it's not agreed with, it is broken and it is not going to land against you. No weapon formed against you will stand. And this is one of my favorites. I've had to pray this over the last few years a lot. because there are many in this movement who speak curses on people that they don't agree with, and they come against them. And, you know, the tares among wheat, and it happens. And if you think it's not happening, all of a sudden you're feeling this dullness come over. You're feeling this sense of shame come over you. Well, that curse just landed because you agreed with it. Well, I guess I'm not that good. I guess I'm not who I say I am. I guess I'm worthless. I guess you start to agree with all those things. We're going to break our agreement with them. And what's more, we're going to ask the Father to be our shield against the words and the arrows and the slings of the adversary and the mouths of evil men and women. Okay? Heavenly Father, we come now before you. We choose blessing according to your word. We choose the blessing of keeping your word and keeping your ways. Father, we break any agreement and we repent that we made an agreement with the adversary or with sin that causes your people to fall. Father, forgive any sin that we know of or that we don't know of. Father, we pray that your son's blood would wash it all clean. And no weapon formed against us will stand. We counter the curses of our adversary. We counter the curses of any evil person on this planet seeking our destruction. Father, you have warned us about the power of our tongues. We know that the enemy and the evil people's tongues have power too, but you are our righteousness. You are our protection. You are our shield. You are our fortress. And we pray that we would break any agreement with any curse, Father. It is not for us. You have not called us to be cursed. You've called us to be blessed. And we counter that. Father, you said you will curse those who curse us and bless those who bless us. I pray that you would fulfill your word now, that those people that are seeking our destruction may be broken so that they hopefully be broken under repentance. But if not, we pray that they stop doing what they're doing. And Father, we've asked you to forgive them because they know not what they do, just as your son did when he was cursed and hung on a tree. Most of all, Father, we pray that the curses that people intend to speak against us, just as Balaam intended to speak that curse against Israel, I pray that those words be turned into a blessing for us. Proverbs says, when a man is righteous, even his enemies are at peace with him. We pray against all curses. We break any agreement we have with them. And we pray that you would look down upon your people and lift up your people's heads, and we break any agreement with any curse that was thrown against us that we accepted. We break our agreement with it, Father. Forgive us for accepting it. Forgive us for giving it a place to land. Forgive us for allowing it or agreeing with it. And we pray that there be pray against any stronghold that gave that curse authority. And we pray that all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. So a curse is all about agreement. So if you feel like there's a curse, and all of a sudden you'll feel this dark pressure on you for no reason. I feel it a lot. I think there are a lot of people out there who don't like what I'm doing. I definitely know the enemy doesn't like what we're doing on the Lion's Path and on That Day Ministries. So I feel that a lot. And when you start to feel that, it is time to pray that the Father defend you and you stand against it and break any agreement you have with it. Okay? All right. Practical spiritual warfare. This is how you do it. Okay? All right. Here is one that I know very intimately well. How do you pray to break those cycles of addiction? Well, first off, the Father's grace, when you repent, 70 times 7, it is constant, it is constant. And we pray now that when it comes to addiction, not only when it comes to the matters of the flesh, we're praying against that, of course, we're praying for forgiveness for that. When it comes to addictions and habits, sometimes you have to set up that physical boundary. Sometimes you have to put something between you and that, whether it's getting your addictive substance out of the house, whether it's putting, gentlemen, something on the computer that gives you accountability for what you're looking at on the internet. Some of us, if you have an addiction to that, you're going to have to put up a boundary between you and that while you are recovering. And even then, guys, I don't think we'll ever not have that physical boundary. And some of us who have an issue with alcohol or drugs, that you're never going to be able to go back to it. Maybe, you know, pray that the Father breaks the chains off of this. But I do know that it was prayer that got me through my addiction. It was that constant grace. It was constant grace that he gave me. But he also gave me the wisdom to know you cannot keep doing this and not put up a boundary anymore. Okay? So when it comes to praying against the power of addictions and habits, we pray a couple things. We pray for the wiring of the brain to supernaturally be healed so that it no longer hungers for what it's used to getting. We pray against anything that the body's holding in agreement where it's craving that addiction, whatever it is. I believe the Father can supernaturally break that. And I believe in many ways he did for me because of his grace was constant. Okay? So, okay. Father in heaven, I stand before your king, your throne now. Father, we have the works of our flesh and the works of the enemies that we have to stand against. And Father, oftentimes when we have entered into some type of sinful indulgence, when we have done something, we've sinned against you in a way that now we have a hook in us, but now we have a snare or a spar within us. Father, we come against all addictive habits in Yeshua's name. We will do our part to stand between us. We will flee from sexual immorality or lust or envy. But Father, we pray now that you would rewire our brains supernaturally, break those furrows that our brain is used to getting. We break our body's agreement with what it thinks it needs, the lies, the lust that it has, the appetites that it has. And we pray that you would look upon us and see a people striving and working and setting up boundaries and walls against the enemy of this world, not only outside of us, but also inside of us. We pray that you would give us the power, the ability to resist temptation to the point of bloodshed if needed. Father, we pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment, and you would wake us up and remove the numbness that this, and come against the thing that with this addiction or this habit that we're trying to bury with it or trying to medicate ourselves with. We pray that you would take the stimulus that we are at, that we're trying to work so hard to medicate. We pray that we would take it away. And Father, we will do our part to stand against sin in our lives. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay. So folks, we're going to end on this one. I pray that you would be willing to pray for blessing for yourself and for others. Not only pray for blessing from on high, but pray to be a blessing to other people. I don't know what it is. I get on the air, all of a sudden my nose starts itching. Somebody must be, what does that mean? Somebody's thinking about you? I don't know. I know your ears burn. Somebody's talking about you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are meant and called to be a blessing, to be salt and light, to be people who will sacrificially be a blessing to others, to be those good Samaritans, to be those who lay our hands on people and pray against their illnesses. We need to pray that we could be blessed and to be a blessing. Deliverance is not over until you receive the joy that you had before the enemy came into that part of your life. Praying and warfare prayers are not over until you pray to be a blessing and to be blessed by the Father in what you do. You pray for the pathways to open up. Heavenly Father, now we come before you with this final prayer this evening. We pray for the blessings that you write about in your word for your people. We pray for the blessings Yeshua told us that we would receive. We pray for the blessing of being a blessing to those of this world who are lost. When we sit and pray for them from afar, or we lay our hands on them up close, or we speak life to them, kindness to them, and we show love to our enemies. We pray that we are a blessing to those who are searching desperately for you, who feel like they're groping about in a cave, blind and without feeling and without a way and a path to go and without being adopted as sons and daughters. Father, may we be a witness to your goodness as those adopted sons and daughters. We pray for blessing to be able to be blessings. In this dark world, there is far too much ugliness in this world, and you have said to us, come and taste the beauty of the Most High. We pray that we can issue on your behalf as your ambassadors that same invitation to come and taste of your goodness and your beauty in a world that is so full of filth and violence and evil and rage and anger. May your people, who you are calling, your sheep that you're calling, Lord Yeshua, who we witness to, who we bear witness to, may they come and hear your voice. And may they come and rest by those green, in those green pastures, by those still waters. May they be tended to. May the broken be mended and healed. In Yeshua's name, amen.